football on Off the Ball.
This, somehow the sweet spot between Klopp football and Schlott football turned out to be title-winning football. And you have to give him credit for that. You can't. That didn't happen by chance.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The News Round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. Hope you all had a wonderful bank holiday weekend. The sport over the last 72 hours was quite frankly ridiculous, and we're going to do our best tonight in the show to try and capture all of that. So from 7:30, we're going to have Ken Doherty joining us to tell us what it's like to be Wu Yizhe today. The 22-year-old is waking up as a world champion. Ken Doherty knows all about that. He's going to break down the likelihood of this guy becoming the face of snooker, telling us his backstory and breaking down what was a brilliant weekend and a brilliant World Championships in Sheffield over the past couple of weeks. From 8 o'clock, we're going to have Brian O'Driscoll in studio. Leinster made hard work of it in the end, I think it's fair to say. They survived that late scare from Toulon, but they are back into the Champions Cup final. He's also going to talk in depth about what it's like to be working in television when you have certain television directors from different countries providing images for you after the TMO controversy in the Bath-Bordeaux game on Sunday. Then between 9 and 10, as always, the football show is coming your way. Dion Fanning in studio with us for the night. We will, of course, be discussing the Champions League as events unfold at the Emirates Stadium this evening, and plenty on Manchester City last night in that extraordinary game at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. You'll notice there's no Gaelic games on the schedule tonight. We're going to do our best to squeeze that in, though. In about 10 minutes' time, we'll get Tommy Rooney up on the line. Brilliant action all around the country over the course of Saturday and Sunday. But arguably, the most exciting stuff was actually in the All-Ireland football draw yesterday. Some brilliant ties in that. Kerry versus Donegal jumps off the page. So Tommy will hop on for a quick call in around 10 minutes time. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Dan Pitcher is on Newsround duty. Dan, how are you
doing? Good evening, how are you?
Very well. And Dion Fanning is here as well. How are you, Dion?
I'm great, Owen. How are you?
All good. Yeah. If it wasn't a great weekend, I'm putting last night down as one of the great Monday nights of sports watching, because like for me it was the snooker that took over, because at halftime, particular in the Manchester City Everton game, or in the Everton Manchester City game, it just kind of felt like curtains. It felt like a sort of Manchester City boring their way to 3 points. Everton with one decent chance in the first half, but this was going to be Manchester City's evening. So kind of had that relegated to second screen while watching the snooker. And despite all the excitement at the Crucible, it became all about Everton City in a seismic 45 minutes potentially in this season's Premier League.
Well, yeah, I especially the form City are in, I never felt that that was a game that you could think, okay, they're just going to cruise to an easy 2-0. They're making it hard for themselves a lot of the time, and it just had that feel of actually a Monday night in May in a Premier League run-in when something extraordinary might happen. Now, like how extraordinary, I don't think anyone anticipated after 45 minutes, but when whilst it was 1-0, I think it's always a chance that something could go wrong. And then you just have that sense with Guardiola, kind of like he looked like somebody in a kind of, you know, in a sort of a trailer for a really bad like disaster movie. Like his eyes were so wide, like it was just like what is happening here? Like I look shocked. He was just like, he just did seem so sort of comically stunned by it.
You're obviously thinking of the same moment that I am, but you've just triggered my memory on Christian Bull there. I forgot that was a Monday night.
Yeah. So they do happen.
Like I know that comes after the slip, but that's as important.
Well, that was hugely important. Yeah. That was the thing that like people didn't realise at the time. Like they thought because of the slip in the Chelsea game, But the Crystal Palace game was hugely important, and it may be that with this game on last night that the point is important, you know, is going to West Ham Arsenal now is a huge game, and a point might be something that City feel that they did well to get, and you know, considering they were 3-1 down, It's it could be a very important point.
What was extraordinary, what stood out to me, especially when Everton did go 3-1 up, was the body language of the City players. Like the cameras were very quick, and you know the heads had dropped, and everybody was shell shocked, including, as you mentioned, Pep. But despite that, usually, like when you see that body language, heads drop, shoulders drop, it's like almost resigned to the fact that they were going to lose 3-1, but Erling Haaland had other ideas, what, 30 seconds later?
Yeah.
I thought it was extraordinary.
It helps, doesn't it, when you have somebody of that ability to try and pull you out of that slump. But it was so quick, like you don't even see the goal in real time. It's gone to a replay.
Even the City fans that were exiting the stadium when they went 3-1 down had very quickly decided that they were all going to run back to their seats.
I see the chap who had the Arsenal bottle a few weeks ago was caught on camera.
Yeah. Like, you know, like that was such a terrible moment in the narrative. Like that guy, not last night. Like
the
everyone,
Stamford Bridge one.
The Stamford Bridge. I think everyone like probably rejoicing. Whatever you feel about whoever you want to win the title, I think when you saw him last night, you're like, all right, mate, like that's, you know, nobody's feeling sorry for you with your bottle. And, just milking that bottle for a week. It was embarrassing. So I think that was a great joyful moment of last night.
Yes.
No matter where even if you're not an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, Jeremy Doku just made eye contact with him before banging in that goal top bins. He's like, I'll do it for you. we need to save your blushes. We are going to bring you the team news from Arsenal in just a moment, but you might put some context on this fixture for us tonight, Daniel. It is, of course, your top story in the news.
Yeah, so look, Arsenal obviously looking to control possession early on and avoid the kind of second half lapse that allowed Atletico Madrid back into the first leg. Declan Rice expected to play a key role in midfield, shielding defence. Manager Mikel Arteta has seen his side respond well to recent setbacks with back-to-back clean sheet and boosting confidence there. Their strong home record in Europe this season adds to the belief that they can finish the job in front of their own fans. Atletico, though, scoring consistently in the competition and they're quite disciplined at the back as well. But boss Mikel Arteta, looking ahead, says that there's a hunger to keep the hopes of a double alive.
I feel the energy in and amongst the team, our supporters. So these are the moments that we want to live together. We had a lot of work as a club, as a team, after 20 years to be in this position again. And we are so hungry to get a game that we want tomorrow and go through to the final. Really hungry. I mean, it's difficult to express the desire to live that moment, and especially with our people in front of them. They've been waiting for so long to have this kind of nights, and push hard tomorrow because it's something amazing going to happen. Go and grab it. I mean, when you are in front of such an opportunity, means that you are ready to deliver, and the team is going to go from the first minute to go and get that.
Just to give you the teams this evening, I'll go with the Atletico one first. It's Oblak in goal, Hanchko and Anormon in the heart of defence, Pubil and Ruggeri, they're fullbacks. It looks like Marcus Llorente has moved to midfield alongside Koke, Lookman on the left, Giuliano Simeone on the right, and Griezmann and Alvarez up front. For Arsenal, this is a really interesting team. So David Raya in goal. There are three fullbacks in this Arsenal starting 11. We were talking last week about how Mikel Arteta had given up on fullbacks, full stop, four centre-backs across the back and all that sort of stuff. There are three fullbacks in a starting 11. So at right fullback, you've got a fullback, Ben White. At left fullback, you've got another fullback in Ricardo Calafiori. And you've got Miles Lewis-Skelly in midfield.
Interesting.
It's Saliba and Gabriel at the heart of their defence. So in midfield, it's Lewis-Skelly and Declan Rice behind Eze, who's going to play in the 10. Saka on the right, Trossard on the left, and Victor Gyökeres up front. It means that Zubimendi is on the bench. You've got Odegaard on the bench. And then Ncapié, who had been locking down that left-back role, left on the bench as well. You've also got Jesus, Martinelli, Madueke, and Kai Havertz, crucially, is on the bench tonight for Arsenal. So it wasn't just mixing the team up to save a few legs on Saturday evening. It was, here's an audition for you, Miles Lewis-Skelly. And he seems to have done pretty well. And he starts in the biggest game in his Arsenal career to date.
Certainly, and in that position anyway.
It's, yeah.
But it's, I suppose Ben White and Calafiori do qualify as fullback. I suppose they are, but they're that kind of Arteta-style fullbacks where they're kind of
big
you know, they look like kind of auxiliary centre-backs. So it's not...
True, and Ben White was converted as well, wasn't he, in the first place? Yeah, it's a good point.
So they're not, it's not like, you know, it's not some kind of Pep-style revolution of of the back line, where he's playing a bunch of midfielders or little fellas all over the place. They're still big, big men.
It does feel that...
Sounding a bit like Graeme Souness.
Yeah. Well, what do you like most about this Arsenal team? Well, they're tall. It does feel that things have turned nicely for Arsenal even just over the course of the weekend. Like, you leave aside the favour that Everton did for Arsenal yesterday evening, and that was just a really good performance from Arsenal on Saturday night. The fact that they managed to do it in front of their home fans, the fact that that sense of tension just didn't seem to be there. They played well, they got the result they deserved in a stress-free manner. It doesn't feel that that's been forthcoming at the Emirates too often lately, so that felt like a big step forward in terms of the performance level you might expect from them this evening.
Yeah, and I think the same will happen tonight. I think they'll win this easily. I think they're,
really?
Yeah. 4-0.
Oh, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah. 4-0, I think they're going to smash.
On the night?
Yeah. I think they'll smash Atletico.
Either way, you're happy, you know? I mean, like, the Arteta's tears, I would suggest something that you would quite like to
well,
see.
Well, I was wondering, you were saying there, is he hungry or hangry when he was talking about hunger? I was like, yeah, I'm feeling a bit hangry listening to him. Like, he does, you know, like... I was feeling very confident for Arsenal, and I heard that clip, and I'm like, God, he talks such unbelievable rubbish all the time.
What about that?
I would like, you know, if we're hungry, or if you're hungry, go out there. It's out. Go out there and get it. Like, the uses of hunger, like, you know, do GA managers even use hunger anymore as a kind of as a sort of motivation? Like, it's such nonsense. The idea that like hunger, you want to kind of, you know, sort of dilute people's hunger. You want to make them relax them. You don't want to tell him, you know, we're so hungry for this. We're going to, you know, again, I know, like, it's full. He's gone Graeme Souness. Like, everyone is, and it's not what you want. You want to just tell them to kind of relax. You want to relax the players. He wants to do one of his other tricks tonight, one of the other kind of gimmicks, you know, not the, like, it's either he's always has people kind of on high alert, or they've got to kind of, you know, sort of demonstrate some sort of raw sort of passion. And it's just, you know, and then you wonder why there is this constant, like not even low level, this constant anxiety and stress around the team. So I'm nearly talking, I'm not going to talk myself out of my 4-0 prediction, but I could do.
Well, I think Graeme Souness would plant his European curriculum vitae on the table here and say, listen, I know what it takes to win on big European nights. So maybe he's exactly the sort of person that Mikel Arteta should be taking a leaf out of going into a pretty big game this evening. We're going to get to Tommy in just a couple of moments, but Dan, you might run us through some of the rest of today's football news, first of all.
Yeah, so Jaden Ume, the 18-year-old Benfica winger, has been included in the Ireland squad for an upcoming friendly against Grenada, in Spain. Heimir Hallgrimsson says that the Cork teenager is an exciting prospect, while Lincoln City's Jack Moylan also earns a first senior call-up. There were 9 uncapped players in total included, as the coaching staff used the camp to look at emerging talent for other friendlies in June and also ahead of the start of the Nations League later on this year. Several senior names, including Gavin Bazunu and Jimmy Dunn, are ruled out through injury. Others unavailable due to championship playoff commitments. Heimir Hallgrimsson also confirmed that Owen Elding, it was the big news as well, has committed his future to Ireland amid reported interest from England. He also told Off the Ball that there was a reason that there's no League of Ireland players making the cut, leaving the door open for those games against Qatar and Canada to come.
Gave him a call this morning and said, I would definitely have a question about you. Am I okay saying you're committed to Ireland? And he said, yes, no problem. So he is in our frame. He might be one that we would call in. Obviously, he can't play the Cups in June, but we might call him in just to have him around the squad. We didn't expect anyone from the League of Ireland. They are in season, so we didn't want to interfere with the players in season. Obviously, we're bringing in both players that have been in the squad regularly, and we're bringing in new faces, which mean that those players will not be involved in the second camp. So it makes more spots available for the second one.
So panic over on Owen Elding, Dion?
Like, anyone knows anything, like, you know, and I'm, like, my son is younger, but like, I know that, like, if you call a 20-year-old on the phone, their only interest is to get you off the phone. Like, that's the only thing they want, is want the phone call to end. Like, they don't want that formal communication at all in the first place. So, like, yeah, I'm fine. you know, go, like, just end the call.
Do 20-year-olds even take calls?
Well,
anymore?
I don't know. I'm amazed at the whole...
You know, same or have them on Snapchat.
Like, between this and the citizenship ceremony, like, there's so many strange moments in this. This is obviously less strange than citizenship ceremony, which still hasn't really been clarified why, you know, if that was the hurdle. But now I just feel like between that and this call, I'm still not 100. I'm not, you know, it's one of those ones. Again, I think, you know, you said it like last week to Declan Rice, that we are scarred.
We're conditioned to panic.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's just like a real commitment to sort of a matter of principle almost that Owen Elding just will not accept his Irish passport unless he gets the citizenship ceremony done first.
He wants a big, yeah, wants a big deal, man.
I don't like getting this in a brown envelope in the post. I want some pomp and ceremony about my passport acquiral. So it seems that there's no reason to panic on the Elding front. Plenty else happening as well in terms of football.
Yes, Manchester City have condemned racist abuse rather aimed at Anthony Semenyo and Mark Gahey during their 3-3 draw with Everton last night. A 71-year-old man has been arrested and bailed as police continue an investigation into the incident. City said that discrimination is never accepted. While we're on the topic of City, Phil Foden has agreed a new contract in principle with Manchester City. The England midfielder, whose current deal expires at the end of next season, is expected to commit until 2030 with the option of another 12 months. He started 5 of the club's last 21 games.
Okay, we just want to check in on the world of Gaelic games because we won't get another opportunity on this evening's show, but we'll have plenty more on tomorrow night's Off the Ball. We want to say hello to our Gaelic Games correspondent, Tommy Rooney. Tommy, how are you keeping?
Very well, Owen. Afternoon, Dion. Dan, how are you keeping on?
Very well. I couldn't help but notice when listening to this week's football pod that you made the rather unwise decision to record before the All-Ireland football draw was made, because that couldn't possibly throw up any big ties for the first round of the championship.
No, and we were well aware of what we were up to, and we possibly have made a little bit of a plan to catch up later this week, because there's two massive provincial finals going on at the weekend too, Owen. And as Jack O'Connor said, this draw does kind of distract from a little bit, you know, and there's no really getting away from it. But I'm not sure we can avoid that at the minute within the season that we're in, just how condensed it is. And you look at hotel prices for Donegal folk who want to land down to Kerry for that box office blockbuster round one game in 2 weeks' time. They're already through the roof in Clarny.
Yeah, this is going to provide an interesting storyline as well, potentially over the next couple of days when we get broadcast arrangements on this fixture. Just before I do that, just a reminder of what the draw actually is for the first round of the All-Ireland Championship. It's Dublin versus Louth, Cork versus Meath, Monaghan versus Mayo, Westmeath are up against Cavan, Galway against Kildare, Armagh versus Derry, Roscommon versus Tyrone, and then a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final in Kerry versus Donegal. So I was just reading Cathal O'Kane's piece in the Irish News today, Tommy, and he's reporting that RTE and GAA Plus are set to end up at loggerheads over who's going to get the rights for this Kerry versus Donegal game, obviously the plum fixture in this round. So in their announced schedules before the start of the championship, GAA Plus advertised that they're going to show 3 games from round one, while RTE would get the other one. So in round one, the way the fixtures are lined up, if GAA Plus are given the first 2 picks, it's likely that all of Kerry Donegal, Cork Meath, Armagh Derry and Dublin Louth, all of them will end up behind the paywall and on GAA Plus. But what's interesting in all of this is that they're still operating off the same contract that was there for the old format. So this was signed in October 2022 on the round robin format, basically. There was no signposting back then that round robin format would change into the one that we're going to get for the first year this year. So that remained in place for 3 seasons, that round robin format. That's been replaced, and Cathal is reporting that that could lead to disagreement over whether the solution around who gets first pick remains valid. So GAA Plus were entitled to the first 2 picks for the group games, but the change of format this year has altered the dynamic of the round one ties. So it is fascinating. If this does go on to GAA Plus, Tommy, I can imagine the uproar. I mean, it could get to Taoiseach level again if Kerry versus Donegal is on GAA Plus in the first round of the All-Ireland Championship, I suspect.
The funny one, it's hard to predict what the public discourse is going to be on, because, you're probably onto a winner there with what you're suggesting. But the GAA Plus isn't going away. You know, I think that's been made clear in terms of the investment the GAA have put into, I suppose, a studio in Croke Park, where they're broadcasting a couple of shows a week. they've got 40 games this year, and like, I think the feeling in Croke Park is that at some stage you can't just start handing away the best games you get. And I'd imagine GAA Plus are going to fight tooth and nail to hold on to Kerry and Donegal. You know, the bit of language in the contract that is being reported in the Irish News and the Irish Examiner today, that it was reported in both places that this might lead to loggerheads. I'm sure that will have to be ironed out at the top level, but you know, that contract was negotiated in Croke Park, and it's Croke Park's in-house GAA platform. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see which way this one goes. If RT win the battle on this one, I think it would tell a lot about what they care about public discourse. If GAA Plus win the battle on this one, I think it says a lot to the rest of us about the direction of broadcast rights in the future, because that's just them putting their foot down in the throat that this is where it's going.
I guess that if it is a service that people pay for, you want a premium product. And Kerry versus Donegal is as premium as it gets in terms of a Gaelic football product that people are going to pay for. I'm not at all actually criticising the fact that this game will be on GAA+. All I'm predicting here, Tommy, is a hell of a fallout in the coming days after the fixtures and broadcast details are actually released.
Yeah. And I'd imagine they're anticipating that. And, you know, the CCCC will only implement the fixtures once they're told who's going for what. So I think they're waiting on word themselves, and they're waiting for, I'd imagine, if there is an impasse at play here, the contract brokers, the ones who scripted up the media rights package that have put the wording in place about, you mentioned the group format, and now it's, you know, a round one qualifier. You know, it's much of the same thing, but it is a totally different format. It is the sixth bloody format. I'm not sure what Dion thinks of this, but it is the sixth format of football championship that we have had in six bloody years. And I am sick of talking about formats, Dion.
Oh yeah, I bet you are, Tom. You and me both.
I'm
not fully aware of the new format, but that's not going to stop me wading in here.
It's going to be way better.
Okay, good. But I'm going to say, I'm struck by listening to this. I'm sure the GAA will strike a really tough bargain when they renegotiate the contract with GAA Go. Like, that sounds like this is really important. Like, this is serious in the sense that the GAA is either an important cultural and sporting institution or it isn't. And if it is, which we all believe it to be, then they can't abuse their position, that position, by actually having putting these matches behind a paywall and actually controlling that element of the broadcast as well. It's a complete farce that this should happen. It's a complete farce that you can actually have a situation where you're genuinely discussing, oh, where will this match go? What does the contract that GAA Go negotiated with RT, with the GAA tell us now that it's fully owned by the GAA? And we think this is a normal position for a sporting body to be in. Like, you know, it's, and again, and a sporting body that, with good reason, but, and, you know, at times with a kind of overemphasis on their you know, a sort of a unique position in this, but with good reason, emphasizes its importance in community, its importance culturally, all those kind of things. And then you kind of say, like, this is these things, they either matter or they don't. And you can't have this situation. Like, it's, you can't have a body that's doing everything. You just, that's just not, it's one thing when it's RT, but for anybody who was actually trying to compete with them, you'd look at it and go, like, is this a fair way of competing in terms of broadcasting, that one of the broadcasters is actually owned by the GAA and we're trying to compete with that? Like,
Surely it's not unique though, Dion. You know, like, the NFL control a lot of their broadcasts in America, and I know we're talking about different sporting organizations.
We're also talking about different jurisdictions and how, you know, and different ways of organizing competition, and not just in sporting competition and in business. So, and the NFL does a whole lot of things, you know, that they do that is different to how things are done in Europe. And I just think it's one of those things, yeah, like, it's that dream that everybody has, but at the same time, when you see it, or lots of people have, that they'll own the rights and they'll be able to control it. But when you see it in action, and you see it in action from a body that actually, this is the point, the NFL, Tommy, we know what the NFL is.
For sure.
Like, it's rapacious and is determined to make as much money as it as it can.
And do you have any sympathy for the point of view that the GAA needs to have that same mentality in order to pump money back into the grassroots of the organisation?
To pump money into the grassroots to do what? To pay club managers?
I see, that is the question.
Well,
that is,
at least we can say, you know, straight up that the payments for club managers aren't coming from
the GAA. That's fair, okay, fair enough. They're coming from the county.
You know,
money has to go somewhere.
No, for sure. Now, look, if, you know, you can go through the accounts every year that are published, and the GAA will stand over the fact that every euro they generate, 83 cent is the, you know, reinvested back into facilities, the upkeep of facilities, like the coaches all around the country at schools level, at club level. You know, I'm talking about underage coaches, not at club managers or anything like that. But, you know, there is a huge amount of money that does get reinvested back in. I'm not quite sure the broadcasting arm of the GAA is, you know, responsible for a huge amount of that either. I wouldn't also be against the manner in which they've developed and attempted to put something like this out there. Like, there isn't a huge amount of, and let's call a spade, there isn't a huge amount of other options out there in terms of television, in Ireland. Like, you know, Virgin Media, did they really come to the table the last time? Have TJ Carr come to the table when it comes to the championship? We know how good they do with league. You know, how many games can RT really show? We've heard Declan McBennett come out plenty of times over the last 18 months speaking about the limitations that they have in RT in terms of how much they can actually show themselves. So
we do have to go, but I suspect the next couple of days are going to be interesting. Let's see what does happen. Very quickly, Tommy, it's what, tomorrow or the day after we're going to get broadcast confirmation, are we?
Yeah, look, there was word that they were meeting tonight, I can tell you. Okay. The CCCC aren't planning to meet tonight. That's not happening, so it will be over the next couple of days. They'd want to be making that call pretty soon. And Owen, we'll catch up on the rest of the sport from the weekend another time.
Definitely. Tommy, thanks a million for that. Dan, we have time really, really quickly just for the John Ram news today. Do you want to bring us that before we wrap up?
John Ram struck a deal with the DP World Tour to retain his membership and remain eligible for the Ryder Cup next year. The Spaniard will pay outstanding fines believed to be around 3 million euro after previously refusing a settlement linked to minimum tournament appearances. The agreement allows Ram to continue playing LIV Golf events while also committing to selected DP World Tour competitions this season. Ram, who reportedly earned a 300 million euro signing on fee to join LIV, now looks set to be available for Europe's title defence at Adair Manor next year.
Daniel Pitcher, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Dion is staying with us for the night. It is half an hour until kickoff at the Emirates, where Arsenal and Atletico Madrid are level pegging going into a game that Dion believes Arsenal are going to hammer them in. So stick with us for live updates throughout the evening. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash machine.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.